Welcome in. Latest episode, That SEC Podcast. Just got done putting more wood in the furnace. Hope you survived Snowpocalypse 2026. Power's been going in and out all day. Uh-oh, forgot. Trying to ration lights, apparently. Hold on. Hope you guys are doing well out there, safe. Stay off the roads. Made that mistake already, but man, it's been a wild one here. I got prepared, went to the grocery store, got everything I needed, right? And then I didn't realize I would need power to cook the food, all the food I bought. Rookie mistake. Where's Shane? Shane's on vacation. He may not be coming back, but well, I was with just the hoodie, and that not even that was warm enough. So it's pretty damn cold here. Like I said, power's going in and out. Hopefully we can get through this whole thing here. But we do appreciate each and every one of you showing up. Been too long since we've had a show, so I wanted to make sure you guys were locked in and staying healthy out there. Oh, buddy. But speaking of which, so I told you, you've already asked, where's Cousin Shane? I told him earlier, I said, the power's out. It's getting rough over here. And here's what Shane sent me. Shane said, it's actually too damn hot here in Orlando. So Shane is golfing, going to Disney, eating donuts, surfing, like Hayden says. It's a scene down there. So, yeah, good on Shane. Good on Shane. While the rest of us are freezing our asses off, trees are exploding outside. I don't know that I've ever seen a tree explode. But I don't know about y'all's trees, but my trees are icicled over and causing chaos down there. So I hope y'all are staying warm. Mike looks like a McDonald's cone when the machine's working. Yeah, Shane's having a good time. Actually, this is a little too hot. I'm going to take all this nonsense off. It's not that bad. It is that bad when the heater stops working, but the heater is currently working. So I'm getting fired up. And what really got me fired up when I was freezing my ass off and it was a damn blizzard out, I said, what would warm my heart more than anything? And that is to start firing these coaches. So I am going to debut. We'll probably do this again when Shane gets back. But SEC hot seat rankings. We're going to rank the hot seat for every single SEC coach in 2026. So a lot going on. And oh, buddy, I missed this one off the top rope. I want to get to him. We had a major donation here. Oh man, I've already forgotten how to work this thing. It's been that long. I guess because it was before the stream started, I can't see it, but I'll load it up on Twitter because I did see it. Shout out. I can't. Okay, gotcha. I can't throw it on the screen, but oh no, now I can't even see it. Let's see. Top. Oh, here we go. Shout out, Christopher. $100 donation. Shout out, Christopher. So here's Christopher's question. We got to get to it. Christopher, really good question here. How do y'all feel about Notre Dame automatically qualifying for the 12-team playoff if they finish in the top 12? Keep in mind, the highest-ranked G5 champ still gets in, which means your team could be 11 and Notre Dame 12, and you're getting booted to make sure Notre Dame is in at 12. So, yeah, that is real. They have officially done that. And they have officially stated that the playoff is going to be staying at a 12-game model for now, so which I think is good news. I know some people want it expanded. The damn Big Ten, the damn devil, they want to expand it to 24. We're not going to 24, not yet anyway, and hopefully never. If the Big Ten wants it, I don't want it, basically. But SEC's fighting for 16, and they want the best 16 in there, and we could not compromise. So we are staying at 12, which I think is good. Again, we've only done two seasons of the 12-team playoff, and I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Yeah, Notre Dame could bitch about not getting in. Texas bitching about not getting in. I don't particularly think Texas deserved to get in, I really don't think Notre Dame deserved to get in after losing to two teams that got in. So I don't know. Do we need more teams in there? I don't know. I think the two playoffs we've had under the 12-team model has been good. I think the best team each season has won it. I don't see anything wrong with it. I think we need to keep the regular season elite because that's what makes college football special. And if we start going to 16, we start going to 24, guarantee the regular season gets diminished. But 16, maybe, I mean, I could see it, and that's probably, that'll be the compromise probably. But I like it staying for 12 for now. Chelsea, we appreciate you. As a Georgia Tech fan, I'd root for Georgia over Notre Dame in the playoffs if it was because of the Yotto bid nonsense. So, yeah. Again, we need to get rid of the G5. I think we should not have this rule where Notre Dame gets in. If they're top 12, they don't play in a conference, they don't deserve special treatment. They need to get in a conference or they need to get the hell out of here. That would be my opinion. But man, a lot has changed since we last spoke. So I do want to hit on some couple things before we get into the SEC hot seat rankings for 2026. And oh, Dabo. He came out against old Portal Pete. Dabo's trying to get Portal Pete in trouble. Pete Golding. Anybody that missed it? Ole Miss landed a big-time linebacker transfer via Clemson. He was originally from Cal, right? And now, then he transferred to Clemson for a couple days. And I realized he did that. His name is Luke Farrelly. He was the ACC Defensive Player of the Year, transfers to Clemson, enrolls in class, starts going to class, doing some workouts at Clemson. I think he was there for 5 days, and then he told him, hey, I want to get in the portal. He had signed a deal, but he did not sign a revenue share agreement. Ole Miss got him to get in the portal, and he is now signed at Ole Miss. Allegedly, Ole Miss got him to get in the portal. I guess I should say allegedly. But man, Dabo went off. Here's a supercut. This is long. He went on for like 30 minutes, but I do want to shout out. There was this guy. I want to give him credit because he put this together. His name's John Blue. Shout out John underscore Blue or Blau. I'm probably butchering that. But here is basically the summarized version of Dabo Swinney explaining what exactly happened. And he's really calling out Pete Golding here. And I'll give you my thoughts on it at the end of this. Again, this is a little bit long, but this is really good stuff here, or at least insight here from Dabo, if this is all true.
Luke Farrelly, he showed up here at Clemson with his dad for his official visit. They just come in off of Ole Miss visit. I said, how was the visit? Not good. Said it was a mess. Look forward to y'all seeing Clemson tomorrow. They verbally accepted the terms of the offer. We got our linebacker. We were going to take one linebacker. Luke signed his financial aid agreement with Clemson. January the 11th, he moved to Clemson. January 14th at 9:49 p.m., the agent, Ryan Williams, calls Jordan Soros. Ryan conveys that Ole Miss has been coming hard after Luke. Are you talking about the same Luke that's enrolled at Clemson that's been in class? So Thursday, January 15th at 11:45 a.m., Jordan came to me, and he told me about the conversation that he had the night before. I told Sorrell. I said, who's their GM? You reach out to their GM. He said he knows him. Listen, this guy has been a head coach for 4 weeks. I'm going to give him some grace. If he doesn't cease communication, I'm going to turn him in. The GM assured Jordan that he had communicated to the agent that he wanted no part of this, but that Pete Golding just does what he does. And Luke communicated to Jordan that Pete texted him on Wednesday morning when he was in his 8 a.m. class. Text message said, I know you're signed. What's the buyout? Also texted him a picture of a $1 million contract. Coach Golding had had Trinidad Chambliss call him from his phone. Coach Golding was there continuing to talk on his phone to push him to re-enter the transfer portal. Jackson Dart had reached out and called him. Luke again assured Jordan that he had no intention of leaving. Luke called Ben Boulware and told him that Mississippi had reached out again, and they had not only reached out, but they had upped and doubled their offer. 2 years, $2 million. Jordan asked to have Luke to give us the text messages. The agent was hesitant to do that because he didn't want to burn any bridges with Ole Miss. The agent communicated that if we were to add a second year at $1 million, then they would gladly give us whatever we need in order to turn Ole Miss in, which Jordan appropriately said, no. I called Luke and didn't get an answer. Jordan Sorrells comes to see me. Luke is in our compliance office trying to request to re-enter the transfer portal. Called Luke, no answer. The agent's response was, oh, bleep. At 4:40, Sorrells and Coach Allen arrived at Luke's apartment. His immediate response was, I'm going to Ole Miss. And when they departed, he just said, hey, I need to clear my head. Jordan spoke with the Ole Miss GM, Austin Thomas, again to let him know that we were going to pursue all options to hold them accountable. Phone call with Tom Allen and Ben Boulware, Luke affirmed his plan to enter the transfer portal. I immediately called our AD, Graham Neff. I also called Commissioner Phillips. He also called the SEC commissioner. We turned everything in to the NCAA. This shouldn't be a three-year or a three-month investigation. This might take 3 days. All you got to do is get the phone. One of the responses that came out of Mississippi, well, people are calling and texting our guys. We have a saying in our team room that says right is right even if nobody does it. And wrong is wrong even if everybody does it. This is not about a linebacker at Clemson. It's a symptom of a system that you have a kid that I meet at 9:30 and he's, you know, signing the next. Like, I feel sorry for the young man, to be honest with you. I blame the adults. I stay in my lane most of the time. But I am not going to let someone just flat out tamper with my program. If you tamper with my players, I'm going to turn you in. So I want to challenge all of those coaches that have reached out to me. You need to step up and call it out. And be people of integrity, or just shut your mouth and don't complain again. To me, this situation is like having an affair on your honeymoon.
We call that the old RG3. Look that up, affair on the honeymoon. But, hey, some interesting and I think valid criticisms there. And I'm no Dabo fan, to hell with Clemson. I sent this to Shane. His response was, I just want Clemson to suck. I hate Clemson. And that's fine, because I agree. I don't give a shit about Clemson or Dabo. But I know it's very difficult for us as fans, but put yourself, imagine if this was your guy, Shane, if this was a Tennessee linebacker that Pete Golding was calling, that you had him sign, that you had him in class and sending him contracts, allegedly. Again, I don't know that this is true. But if it is, I don't think Shane would be saying, well, the hell with Dabo, you know what I mean? If this was your guy, I think you'd be pretty damn pissed too. And yeah, I see all the Ole Miss fans tampering, everybody's tampering, yada, yada, yada. Well, again, if this is true, and I don't know the 100% to be true, because not included in that supercut, and again, I know it was long, but the whole press conference was wild. Dabo claims that the linebacker, Luke Fornelli, I think is how you say his name, his agent told Clemson, hey, give us an extra million and an extra year on the contract, and we'll give you all the dirt, all this cheating by Ole Miss. We will give you proof of it so you can turn them in. Now, when I hear that, that tells me, okay, the agent's a lion. He's probably a scumbag, right? He's trying to blackmail Clemson into more years, more money in exchange for dirt on Ole Miss. So that tells me that we're dealing with a super shady person over here. He may, a lot of this stuff that Dabo's quoting could be completely fabricated by this agent. Now I'm not saying it is. I don't know. But here's the key point. When Ole Miss fans, and hell, we have praised Pete Golding to no end, right? If Pete Golding really did this, if he is texting players at other universities that are not in the portal, that are in class, and he's asking them about their buyout and sending them a contracts, he should get in trouble for that, because you cannot be that fucking stupid and be an SEC head coach. We could say all everybody's doing it tampering. They're not that fucking stupid. It's not the head coach texting, DMing, whatever, a player. You can't be that blatant. You could send it to his agent. You could send it to a parent. You could send it to someone that'll get it to the player. And that I think is fair game. But if you're that stupid as a head coach to do this, to send it directly to the player, I mean, that's awful, I think. And you deserve, again, I'm not saying he should be fired or anything crazy like that, but I mean, that is complete recklessness. And he's probably not the only one doing it. And I don't even know that he did it. This is coming from Dabo. But if Dabo's accurate and that's true, then there should be repercussions for that, because you cannot, again, this is all bad, right? And Ole Miss people say, well, Kiffin does it well. Well, that's bad too. And we call that out. So it's all bad, in my opinion. But if you have proof of it, again, turn it in, and we'll see what happens. And I honestly don't think anything will come of it, because if everybody is doing it, and maybe all these coaches are texting and DMing contracts to players that are not in the portal and this, that, and the other, well, then you really have to go after all of them, don't you? And is the NCAA do they even have the resources to do that? I don't think they do. But again, if your head coach, active head coach, is reaching out to players, not in the portal, one-to-one, then that is just, that's fucking stupid. And there's no other way for me to put it. And you got to be smarter than that, because you're an SEC head coach now. You got literally 100 people under you on staff. Any one of them could do it, and agents could do it. There's an unlimited amount of people that could be doing this for you. And if you're personally taking charge of it and you're doing it, good luck, because I don't know. That's not great. And the only other thing I'll add on this, and I put this on Twitter and I was half joking, but not really. I think with Clemson, I think they're going to suck again next year. I think they'll be bad, and they'll probably fire Dabo. I think he should, and Jeff Lebby will probably get fired. We'll get to the SEC head coaching rankings here in just a second, or hot seat rankings. I think Dabo should go to Mississippi State with the sole purpose of getting back at Pete Golding. That's the way you, that's the only way you're getting back at Pete Golding, if you're Dabo, I think. Because I think what you're doing at Clemson, hiring Chad Morris, I don't think it's going to work. So good luck with that. Shout out Michael Dunlap. Big Gamecock. Dabo's fighting a good fight. Never thought I'd say something nice about Dabo. Michael Dunlap also says, I agree with Dabo. Can't believe I just said that. I mean, I'm right there with you. I'm right there with you. So that's pretty wild. You know what? Tim says, SEC Mike, where's the proof? That's on Dabo. Dabo says he's got it, and he said they've turned it into the NCAA. So we'll see. We'll see. I don't know. I don't know if he has proof. Again, I said allegedly, right? I don't know that he's doing all this stuff, but is Dabo going to speak on it for 30 minutes and none of it's true or no evidence? I mean, maybe he does seem like a dumbass, so maybe he would do that. But I don't think so. I really don't think so. I don't think he's... I mean, why would you call out one guy if you had... And again, I mean, go listen to his full press conference. This is like 30-plus minutes where he's calling out Pete Golding by name and Ole Miss by name. And if he didn't have receipts, I don't think he'd be saying the name. I really don't. I really don't. Jeez Louise, Mike, do you think it's because half these desperate moves come from not all playoff teams in the playoff when the window was open while they were locked in? I'm not sure I really understand the question. What half of these desperate moves come from teams in the playoff when the window is open while they're locked in? I mean, I think Ole Miss was doing this because they lost their guy, Daugherty, to allegedly, essentially Lane Kiffin doing the same thing to them. And that's, you know, that's kind of the defense here by Ole Miss. He didn't sign a rev share. People did it to us. But hey, if someone does something bad to you, and you, I mean, is what's right to just do it back to them? I mean, you ever heard an eye for an eye leaves the world blind? Uh-oh. Disney Shade, what's up, buddy?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you look beautiful.
Oh, well, we just thawed out down here.
What's the temperature like there?
Huh?
What's the temperature?
Oh, it's a warm 82 degrees today.
David.
Oh, whoa, I'm outside the hibachi grill.
I don't know if I'm allowed to middle finger on YouTube, but I did it anyway. Hey, what's your thoughts on Dabo real quick? Dabo calling out Pete Golding.
Oh, toughen up, you soft bastard. It's college football. You think he's the only player that got it?
All right, buddy.
He's the only one that cried wolf.
Thanks for tuning in, man. Get back to vacation.
All right. See you guys.
All right. Cousin Shade making an appearance. I never thought that would happen. Shout out Shade. Does Golding get a recruiting ban for X weeks as punishment? Show cause? Is this what it's called? What should be the repercussions? I mean, I don't know. I don't know that we've literally ever had this. Again, everybody says there's tampering, right? But nobody puts a name to it, and nobody has receipts. And Dabo has come allegedly with receipts, and he's calling them out. So we'll see. I at the end of the day, I don't think any, to quote Shane, I don't think anything will happen. I really don't. But is that right? I don't think so. But I don't know. That, these guys are, and this is another thing I've said about Lane Kiffin. I've called him out, and now I'm calling out Pete Golding. At the end of the day, shout out Shane. These guys are paid to win. No one is here for your excuses. If you can't get it done, you got to. These guys are. There's no honor among thieves, right? And that's what a lot of these guys are. To put it quite bluntly, they are cutthroat. They're competitive, and they're trying to win football games. They're going to do it any way possible. And this is just the latest evidence of that. So. Hey, if he wins big, no one gives a shit, right? If he loses, this is going to be used against him. So we'll see. We'll see what comes of this. But I really don't think anything will come of it, because I don't think the NCAA's got the resources to pursue all this. I really don't. Hey, and then what other clips? This is similar to it. I just thought this was pretty wild. Shout out Barry Odom. We all know him, former Mizzou coach. Now he's at Purdue. This is pretty wild. Listen to what he says about getting list of from agents of players that are going to be hitting the portal in the offseason. This is in the middle of the season he's saying this. Well, he just said, well, here's a clip.
Always, for me, going into midpoint of the season last year, you had to start having those conversations, and how awkward that is during the season. You're getting ready to go play Michigan, and you're sitting down talking about the retention, trying to keep them in the program. But also, we've got agents that are sending you lists every week about, hey, those lists are floating around. Hey, these are my guys that are going to be in the portal next year in the off season. Well, one of them sent us a list of our guys that were on it, and I say, hey, pal, you sent me the wrong list. They're not sending me the list, but they're floating around, and so you've got to have those. You got to have those conversations. As weird and as crazy as that sounds, that's just part of the game now. And again, I said earlier, you got 105, free agents, and there's no rules.
Any more questions?
So, that's just pretty wild, isn't it? I mean, he's getting a list of his players that will be in the portal in the coming weeks in the middle of the season. That's what we're dealing with. So, it's just damn wild. And then last one, I don't have a clip here, but I saw this. Shout out Jim in Arlington. He tagged me on it. But the Oklahoma GM, Jim Nagy, he said, we just did 80 contracts, which everybody is doing it, right? That's not to say like he's working triple time or something and everybody else sitting on their hands. But He said Oklahoma just had to do 80 contract negotiations, and he said in the NFL you're doing 15 to 20 a year because not the entire damn roster is free agent. So put that into perspective: 80 new contracts times 100 plus teams. I mean, these guys are working damn overtime. It's pretty damn wild. Pretty damn wild. But hey, enough of that. Let's get into, I'm trying to warm my ass up over here. Shane, hop it on. Calling out Dabo, that helped. But before I freeze my ass off here, I want to talk some hot seat rating. The hot seats for every team in the SEC, every coach, 1 through 16. And we're going on a scale from 1 to 5. 1 being virtually no hot seat. 5 means this guy's about to get damn fired any day now, right? So I hope that makes sense. And you may ask, well, why is there no 0? There's no such thing as a 0 hot seat in the SEC. I hate to tell you that every one of these coaches is a loss or two away. Even damn Kirby Smart. If he loses 2 or 3 games, you'll start to hear it. You will start to hear it. Fire his ass. So let's get into it. Anybody want to? Let's do the donations. I want to give them credit. People that gave donations, I'm going to do their team first. Nobody has to give a donation, but if you do, we'll do your team first. So let's do Texas A&M. Mike Elko, hell of a coach. On a scale of 1 to 5, what's Elko's hot seat ranking? I think it's clearly a 1. So basically, as low as it can possibly get. And now he loses to Texas again. We may have to reevaluate this. Three losses out of 3 times against Texas. But he did a hell of a job. I know the last two, the end of the seasons, that's about the only thing you could hold Coach Elko against him. I think he's building a hell of a program, and he's already made the college football playoff in year 2. That's something that's incredibly hard to do. So I think Coach Elko, give me a 1 for Coach Elko. I'm seeing some 2s. To be honest with you, I almost put it 2, but I think 1 is a little bit more appropriate for everything that he's accomplished. Again, he's 1 at a high clip. He's getting better and better. 7-1 in the SEC last year. Made the college football playoff. He's nowhere near the hot seat right now for Coach Elko. So give me a 1 for Elko. And then I want to shout out Michael Dunlap for the donation. So let's do Beamer Ball. Shane Beamer. Buddy. Big fan of Beamer, right? But, oh, buddy, oh, last season, 4-8, that's going to put your ass on the hot seat in a hurry. Give me a 4, same as the number of wins he got last season for Shane Beamer. He's got to win. He's got to win this year. But I don't think he's got to, like, make the playoff or anything. It's a tough job. But you go 4 wins, 5 wins, your ass is probably gone next year, given what you are returning. Beamer's on one of the hotter seats in the SEC, and I don't want him to go. I like him. I think he will deliver, but give me a 4, and he's a borderline 5. I don't think he's quite a 5 because I think overall he's done a good job overall, but man, he's got to start winning. And he's got to be a little bit more consistent, and he's got some top-end talent, and it didn't show last year, but it's got to this year. So finish games, and we've got a really good program. Maybe that's too far, but no, I think a good program. I think that's fine to say. I mean, hell, they caught fire at the end of last year. Let's not forget that either. They just couldn't close out a damn game to save his life. So give me a 4. He's on one of the hottest seats in the SEC, but I don't think it's quite scorching just yet. Yeah, that's right. Beamer did promise playoffs. Oh, buddy. Maybe it is playoff or bust. I think if he wins 8 games, he's not making a playoff, but I don't think he should be fired. That's my take on that. Let's see. Any other donations? We had James Mack. Who's your team, James? And we'll shout him out. I thought he only signed a financial aid. We're going back to the linebacker. I think that's accurate. Shout out Liquid. Let's do Liquid. Let's do Florida Johnson Row. I don't quite have his resume graphic done just yet, but I will. I think John Sumrall is kind of easy. He's a one. He just got there. I think the Gator Nation, they've got to be pretty happy with what John Sumrall has done thus far. Players he's kept, players he's let go, like DJ Lagway, and the hires he's made, the job he's done in the transfer portal. I think John Sumrall clearly is on about as cool as a hot seat as you can get for the Florida Gators. But hey, he comes out and loses to FAU or the Camels. That'll turn scorching in a damn hurry there. So, but again, he's not anywhere close to getting fired. He just got there. But at Florida, Florida's one of those jobs. By the end of the year, he could be on the hot seat. And that's crazy to say, but hey, they demand excellence, right? So give me John Sumrall. Give me a one. I think that's an easy one to do. How about DeBoring? Give me Caleb DeBoring up here. Pretty good year. Just made the playoff, right? But got embarrassed. Got embarrassed one too many times for my liking. Give me a DeBoring. Give me a three. Three out of five. So he's lukewarm. He's got a very manageable schedule. I saw someone note that there was seven teams, I think. I don't know if this is true. I probably should have looked this up before I just spew stuff. But someone said there were seven teams in the SEC that had losing records. Let's double check, see if that's even accurate. But Alabama allegedly placed six. So six of the seven. Let's double check that real quick. I only have six with a losing record, so maybe I got that wrong. But those teams are Kentucky, Florida, Auburn, Mississippi State, South Carolina, and Arkansas. And Alabama plays a lot of those teams. So basically, point being, this is as manageable as a schedule as old DeBoring is maybe ever going to get in the Southeastern Conference. So I put him at a three. That's not on the hot seat, but it basically means you better win. Otherwise, you're going to find your ass on the hot seat before long. I think that's basically going to be where he's at his entire tenure until he wins a national championship, if he does. That's a huge if. But otherwise, I think DeBoer is basically constantly at a three minimum. Shout out, P5. $50. Wow. Say donation. Keep yourself warm. SEC Mike. Appreciate you, P5. All right, so let's do Mizzou. Eli Drinkwitz, damn it, I did the graphic, but I haven't uploaded his. But anyway, so we're coming off 8-5. This man's been given two contract extensions in 4 months, which is asinine, if you ask me. But you have to do what you have to do, I guess, to keep your coach, get that continuity. Give me a two for Eli Drinkwitz. I think that is fair. Now, you could say, well, he's just got two contract extensions. How could he not be at a one? Well, I think because, quite frankly, I don't think he's delivered the last couple of years. And I think he was given the one contract, the latest contract extension, to butter his ass up and keep him from leaving. So I think two is fair. Again, nowhere near a hot seat. He could be there. If he keeps it up, I don't think it's crazy to say he could be the one of, if not the best, Missouri coaches of all time. I mean, his record matches very favorable with Gary Pinkel. Now, Gary Pinkel, I think, won where he's at and where Drink's at in his Mizzou career. The next couple of years, Pinkel won 10, 11 games. So he's got a lot to live up to match at, but he is on his way, basically, to be one of, if not the best, Missouri coaches of at least modern Missouri history. So it would be foolish to say he's near a hot seat, but I don't think he's out of one either. So give me two for Eli Drinkwitz. We appreciate you. P5 for the donation. OK, Okay. And we never got S. Sherper. Appreciate you, buddy. I don't know who your team is, though. Coach Drink for president. okay, let's go. How about Alex Golish? I think I don't want to ruin my list here, but I know he just got there, right? And you can say, oh, okay, so he's a 1-2, right? Just like John Sumrall? No. Gibby Golish, 2. Because I think fans are going to be a little bit upset that they've become the Auburn Bulls. Now, I think it very well could work for him. I'm not saying we run this damn guy out of town, but I don't know if it's possible in the history of Auburn to have a coach that's at a 1. I mean, they signed Gus Malzahn to a massive extension, which was kind of asinine. They were trying to keep him away from Arkansas, and they fired him about 6 games later. So Auburn's crazy, and I say that with love, Emily and JD. I think I saw you in here too, but y'all are historically, a loss away from firing everybody, which. Probably, I wish they were that way a little bit earlier with Hugh. But be that as it may, I don't think you can have an Auburn coach at a 1 unless he just won the Iron Bowl. That's probably the only way you can get to be a 1 on this list if you're an Auburn coach. So give me Golish 2. I'm not saying he's going to be a failure or anything, but the portal, that was a little interesting how that went. I think you lose a little bit. And now we'll see. We'll see. If he comes out red hot, beats Florida, starts 3-0, Vanderbilt 4-0, his ass will be down to a 1 in a hurry. But I think for now, I think Gibby Golish at a 2. I just can't. You can't have an Auburn coach at a 1. You just can't. You just can't. I mean, you guys are too wild, and I love you for it. I mean, that's the way we should all be. There should never be content. Not unless you win big. All right, let's go. This one's kind of easy too, so let's knock him out of the way. Let's go Clark Lee. I got to give Clark Lee, just gave him a contract extension, SEC Coach of the Year. So easy, right? He's a 1. He is a 1. He's a Vanderbilt man through and through. His vision is coming true. We all laughed our ass off when he said, hey, my goal is to win championships here at Vanderbilt. And that still might be comical to some of y'all, but they took a massive step in the right direction to proving that they can possibly do that in Vanderbilt. So, yeah, he is on one of the coolest seats in the Southeastern Conference. Would have liked to seen them finish the bowl game out a little bit better, but I think it's very easy to say Clark Lee, he's well on his way to being one of the best coaches in Vanderbilt history, and a guy that is not eager to leave, Vanderbilt alum, walk on, all that. So he's beloved there. Give me Clark Lee, 1. I think that's an easy one. How about Josh Heupel staying in the state of Tennessee? And this was a difficult one for me. Where is Josh Heupel? I don't think he's on the hottest of hot seats. I don't think he's on a cool seat either. So give me Josh Heupel. Give me a 3. Coming off last year with a lot of questionable coaching decisions. And I don't know. I think we're at a crossroads. Now, Tennessee's giving him, I think, what he needs to win. They have spent millions of dollars to get a defensive coordinator. They've spent millions of dollars to bring in the strength and conditioning coach from Indiana. They are giving him everything he needs to be successful. Tennessee's one of the biggest spenders in NIL and high school recruiting. You got to deliver. You got to deliver. And going 8-5 is, that ain't going to cut it. Now, you could slice it and say, well, hell, he lost to, I'm overlooking the bowl game because who the hell cares? But basically 4 playoff type teams. But who gives a shit? 3 of those were at home. You shouldn't be losing 3 home games ever with the great fans and the home field advantage on Rocky Top and the roster you have. So Heupel, you got to do better, but give me a 3 on Josh Heupel. And That could turn into a four really quick if they lose to Georgia Tech, hell, maybe even Texas, because fans are going to want to win the battle of UT. So give me Josh Heupel at a three. Not on the hot seat, but could find himself there before long. Lane Kiffin, Portal King, just landed Jordan Seaton, number one offensive tackle out of the portal. He's got to be a one. I mean, they will let this man probably get away with murder down there in Baton Rouge right now. They love him so much. So shout out Lane Quentin Kiffin. He was a one at Ole Miss too, and now they hate his ass. So it's funny how the tide can turn on you, so to speak. But right now, he's on arguably the coolest of cool seats in the Southeastern Conference. Lane Whiffen. Now he loses to Clemson, they'll spit on his grave here. I mean, that's speaking of crazy fans. LSU will, they'll get after your ass too. They love BK till they didn't, and they'll turn on you. But Kiffin's a hell of a lot better coach than Brian Kelly. So he is the king of Louisiana right now. Shout out Lane Kiffin. He's at a one. You know who else is at a one, of course, is old Kirby Smart. Kirby Smart, best coach in the country. Although maybe, is it Cignetti? I still think we got to give it up to Kirby Smart. Multiple national championships delivered for Georgia. Got to win a playoff game here, though. It's disappointing that we're winning back-to-back Southeastern Conference titles and we're not winning a playoff game. That's a little interesting. But again, he is nowhere near the hot seat. Now you lose a couple critical games. maybe we try to hire Cignetti. You know, I mean, there's going to be Georgia fans that are going to be saying that if Georgia, let's say they go 8-4 next year, which surely to God they won't do, because they're favored, I would imagine, in every single game. That includes at Alabama, at Ole Miss, Oklahoma at home. I mean, they're going to be favored in every damn game. So Kirby's on the coolest of cool seats. I think we all know that, but like I said to start, there is no zero on here because fans will turn on you. Mike Bobo, if he keeps effing up and Kirby doesn't make a move, someone's going to get mad. Okay, speaking of getting mad, we already talked enough about Pete Golding, but I think it goes without saying he's at a one as well. Just got there, won multiple playoff games, something Kirby hasn't done here lately. So shout out Pete, Portal Pete. Give me a one for Portal, although Dabo would give him a T for tampering here, and he would give him a T for tissue because he's still crying. But Portal Pete's got a one. You lose to LSU, that's gonna move drastically. Tampering three. That was another one. Oh my God. I mean, I hate to keep going back to it, but that Dabo presser, he said, I'm going to mess up this quote, but he basically said tampering 101, God, tampering 201. And then he went all the way up to 301 and he basically said Pete Golding was at 301. So basically, I don't know. You got to watch it. It's comical what an idiot Dabo is. And he didn't even help himself out when he's probably right here, but give me Portal Pete. Give me a one. I'm also giving Venables a one. I almost gave him a two. I don't think you should be losing playoff games at home. First team to ever lose a playoff game at home. But he's doing a hell of a job. And I question this guy. He's probably the best defensive coordinator in the country. I don't even know if probably is the right word. I think he is. He's doing a good job. Oklahoma's committed to him. Probably before they even should have. They gave him a big extension. I think he should have had to prove it a little bit more, but he has proven it with a 10-win season. So give me a one. But if you lose to Texas again, and particularly if you can't score an offensive touchdown, I'm changing this number. You gotta have a better showing against Texas. I mean, that's just pathetic. But until then, he's a one. Unless he has an embarrassing loss down the stretch. I like the strides that Brent Venables has made. And he, to my knowledge, has not, you know, had any kind of, what's the word I'm looking for here? He did not react negatively to Jim Nagy coming in, which I think a lot of people may have in that position, bringing in a big-time GM like that. You know, too many cooks in the kitchen, who answers to who. To my knowledge, there's no bickering there. So, I think that's a credit to Brent Venables. A lot of these guys don't have GMs. You think Kirby Smart? He would not. I don't think he would have been happy if you hired Jim Nagy. I think Kirby's better than any of these coaches, but I think he would have had a real problem with it. Speaking of problem for Oklahoma, how about Sarkisian? Where we at with Sarkisian? Could be preseason number one team. They were preseason last year, number one, went 10-3. So, I mean, there's a price to be paid for that, right? They're going all into the portal. They got God's Gift to Football, Arch Manning under center, preseason Heisman winner. Give me a 3 for Steve Sarkisian. So similar to Heupel, similar to DeBoering. I don't think these guys are on the hot seat. And I think Sarkisian is probably further from the hot seat than even Heupel or DeBoering. But I think he could find himself there if he drops a couple games. Ohio State, that'll be interesting. At home, probably should win that one. At Tennessee, I think you should win that one. But it's not going to be easy. Oklahoma, of course. You know, you drop two of these, he's going to find his ass on the hot seat. Because they're going to be in the same position they were in last year, playing for their playoff lives, about the midway point in the season. And they came up just short, obviously. So I think it's playoff or bust for Sarkisian. Give me a 3 for Steve Sarkisian. I don't think he's on the hot seat, but I think he could coach himself on the hot seat, or he could coach himself off or to a where he's not even in consideration for the hot seat, if that makes sense. So a little bit of a crossroads there. Who else we got? This, I think, is the hottest seat in the SEC. Give me Jeff Lebby. Same grade as Beamer, 4. Don't quite have him as a 5, but he's got to deliver. And we have seen Beamer win some big-time games. Still waiting for that from Jeff Lebby. Now, I think he walked into a much more difficult situation, and it's taken him a little bit longer. I think Mississippi State's a tougher job. So, you know, there are reasons to say maybe Jeff Lebby shouldn't be at a 4, but we can't forget Mississippi State has got a proud tradition. And up until recently, it was Georgia and Bama had the longest bowl streaks in the Southeastern Conference, and the next in line was Mississippi State, believe it or not. So they have a long recent track record of winning consistently in this conference, and they haven't been doing it. So you get 3 years to, again, I'm not asking much. I'm asking for a damn winning record. We haven't had that year. If you don't have it by year 3, your ass is gone. That's my opinion on old Jeff Lebby. I think he's on the hottest of hot seats in the SEC, even though it's the same grade as Beamer. I got Lebby and Beamer, the only 2 4s in the Southeastern Conference. So the only 2 I didn't get to were Silver Fox. Give me a 1. He just got there, and he's doing a good job in the portal. Really good job by some rankings. He's doing a good job at high school recruiting. I think the only one that doesn't think he's doing a good job is old Casey Dick. Is that his name? The former Razorback coach who called him out on social media. But he's fine. He just got there. I think the fans are liking what they're seeing from him. And then, of course, the other one is Will Stein. He is about as close to 0 as you could get. He's undefeated. And Kentucky fans are loving everything Will Stein is throwing their way. So here's all the grades in 1. Let me recap it in case you missed any of them. DeBoering, 3. Silver Fox, 1. Golish, 2. Summerall, 1. Kirby, 1. Stein, 1. Kiffin, Whiffin, 1. P. Golding, 1. Although he's got to quit tampering. Lebby, 4. Drink, 2. Venables, 1. Beamer, 4. Heupel, 3. Sark, 3. Elko, 1. And Clark Lee, number 1. not number one, but out of one. So there you go. There's the hot seat rankings entering into the 2026 calendar year. Mike, why don't you call Saban that he quit on LSU? I think y'all need to lengthen go old judge him on the field. We have gave him everything he needs. Wow. I don't know where to start with this one. Nick Saban left after the season, after the bowl game. But I mean, now it's comical to even think these coaches would stay for a bowl game, but he did it. I mean, I don't even think this is comparable. I mean, Lane Kiffin fucking quit on the team and left before the playoffs started. I mean, what are we talking about here? No, that's crazy talk. And that's dumber than your sentence structure here. okay. Man, these are a little bit more difficult to just sit here and spiel for an hour. Any questions here? Saban only quit on the Dolphins. he finished out the season too. So can we get the pod guests hot seats? Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. Marler, he's on a 5. We may never have him back on. Lassen, he's at a 1, I think. Shane's at a 3. Anybody else we're missing here? I may have lined up a really good guest this week because Shane's going to be out all week. I think he's going to be out the next week too. I mean, that son of a gun, he loves his time off. So I'm going to try to load up with a lot of really good guests the coming days and weeks. Might do a basketball watch party. I watched a lot of basketball on Saturday. It was actually a lot of fun. Missouri beat Oklahoma, 2 buzzer beaters, 1 to end regulation to force overtime, and then 1 in overtime to win the game. That was a hell of a game. Tennessee beat the G League. Undefeated against G League and Alabama cheating bastards there. So we're going to start getting into basketball now. I mean, basketball, football's over, right? We'll still primarily be talking football here, but maybe we'll do some watch parties, things of that nature. Bidiaco, whatever his name was. I agree with you. That's damn foolishness. We could talk a whole hour on that. Yes, I do pay Shane too much. And yes, he's unhappy with the pay he gets. So we are at a crossroads ourselves. So that's about all I got. Shane, not at 3. He's at the Cracker Barrel. Man, I enjoy hanging out with you guys, but I hope everyone stays safe out here. I was kidding at the front. Oh, we had another donation. Thank you, P5. $50. That's too much. We do appreciate your question. After cool, warm, hot seat analysis, is a Senior Bowl more important to players than bowls for pro evaluation? Yeah, absolutely. It is about to be Senior Bowl week. That's a huge deal for the players because unless they've changed it, it's been a while since I don't pay a ton of attention to the Senior Bowl. But it's extremely valuable for the players because they're getting all the coaches go down there. That aren't still coaching, obviously. But, yeah, I mean, for evaluation purposes, for getting to know the players, it is, I think it's more valuable than anything. The combine, you know, one-on-one meetings. I think these coaches want to know how these guys compete, how they practice, how driven they are. I think Senior Bowl, I think that's an excellent question. I think we should start going to the Senior Bowl. That'd be a lot of fun. Maybe get some interviews with some of the players and coaches down there. I'd have to get out of my driveway, but it's going to be about 2 weeks until I can probably do that. But, that was a really great question. I appreciate your P5. So, hey, we'll hopefully be back tomorrow with Marler, that crazy bastard. I don't know if he'll show up because Bama got their ass embarrassed on national television by Tennessee basketball. So he may not show up. He may be too afraid. He may be afraid because, or too busy because LSU is essentially gobbling up every player in the transfer portal. So he may be busy with that. But hopefully, Marler will be here tomorrow. I don't think Steven will show up because Steven he's had to leave his house. They have no power where he's out. So I think he's had to go to, like, family's house. So hopefully Steven will be back. But don't hold me to that because I really don't think he will be. So I don't know what we'll do tomorrow other than hopefully Marler Hour. But like I said, I'm trying to line up a bunch of guests, some really cool guests, some big name guests. I'm trying to get them all lined up here. So we may try to go interview heavy in the next couple of episodes. But until then, I want to give a shout out. JP, thank you for tonight's shout outs. Christopher Frieden, Josie, Michael Dunlap, James Beck, Liquid Flames, Spear, I hope I said that right, and P5, thank you all. We appreciate each and every one of you. That's all I got. I'm about to run out of words. Until next time, I really, really, really appreciate all you guys hanging out. I'm like a cabin fever over here. I haven't talked to anybody in several days. I'm home alone. I'm snowed in. I bet a lot of you are too. So I hopefully you got power. Stay warm. Reach out if you need anything. I'll send Cousin Shane to come help you out. But thank you for helping me keep my sanity. And we will catch you on the next one. Stay safe. Stay warm. Bye-bye.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.